Lickety Mans. Got to have time for the romance. Have another baby on the way.
Yeah, well, I ain't saying do that now.
Y'all having any more, Marl?
We wait and see approach. You know, I it's really, as long as the world don't get too crazy, we'll probably try again, but
yeah,
we'll see how this next year goes.
I can't help you on that one. I don't got no answer for that. I got mine and I'm gone.
How many you got? Just two?
Yeah, just two, man. I got two. The girl I'm dealing with, she got one. That's more than I can handle already.
Yeah. Do you got twins?
Yeah, twins, boy and girl.
Okay.
That's the lick right there.
That was the lick.
I know, right?
That's the lick. I got my boy and I got my girl. Look, listen. When she showed me the paper that said baby A, baby B, I was scratching my head. I was like, well, what is that? Like, that's two. I'm like, nah, I can't be. You know what I'm saying? It can't be two babies in there. We went to the doctor. They were like, oh, yes, just go to first heartbeat over here. Here goes the second. I'm like, so she wasn't.
That's cool, though. I always said, because I don't have any kids. I'm 41. I don't know if I ever will. It depends on who I'm dealing with. But, I always said, bro, I want the twins, boy, girl, bam, done deal. It's a wrap, man. We got it. We did it. Team, we knocked it out the park.
Yeah. Listen, when I had mine, I was done. I started messing with other girls who talking about they want kids. I'm like, nah, we can't work.
Enough
for us to talk about. I got my boy and my girl. It's different if I just keep having a girl. But like I always said, my first kid, if it was a boy, I was done.
You're going to quit.
My name going to keep going on. You know what I'm saying? If it's a girl, you know, I might go and try again. But once I got my boy and my girl, I'm like, I don't need to try no more at all.
See, that's different. I was been good with just a girl. A wife would have to convince me to have a boy. I'm like, man, I don't deal with this little hard head fucker trying me and shit. I always wanted daddy's little girl. So I would have been cool if I had a girl on the first go. I'd have been good with getting out right there. Because my name going to live on just because I got my brothers both got several sons. So I'm like, the last name of Liv, man. I'm cool with that.
Man, yeah. I'm so comfortable in this girl dad role that like if we had one more and it was a girl, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, but
she wants a boy. She wants a boy. So
she wants mama's boy. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But there's a lot of guys, because they want, you know, a little slugger to get out there, run around, you know, play sports, you know.
That's it. A little mini you. That's it. Oh man, he's me. And look, I took my son out there to the camp on Saturday. We didn't go Sunday because his mom came to get him. So we out there on Saturday, man, and everybody like, dang, X-boy, that he looks just like you.
Yeah.
So I see one of my homeboys who I played basketball with growing up. He ready to come out on the basketball court. Not knowing that, my son do play basketball, you know what I'm saying? So
he take after you like that? I know you said a little bit of both. He a little bit of a hooper already?
He plays basketball. He's 10, so he haven't found the love for it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't stress it. I'd be like, man, if you want to play,
that's whatever you want to do. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to play, whatever you want to do, I'm gonna ride with it. Right. Because when you come to me and say, daddy, I'm ready, now we finna go. It ain't gonna be no I'm your dad at this point. I'm finna be, boy, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Let's get out here. Something wrong. You got to go do some, go run around. And that's why I haven't pushed him yet, because he still has that. When I do get a little hard on him, he want to go tell his mama, like, yeah, mom, you're hard on him. Like, so I'd be like, it's cool. Right, I don't want to hear her mouth. So I'm going to just take it easy on you.
That's dope, though. See, and that's the thing. Then I get the appeal of a little boy then. So it's like, I get both ways. I wouldn't be mad if I had a son. But I definitely, if I had a kid tomorrow and it was a boy, I'd be like, all right, we got to try one more time.
The thing about the girls, man, is when you have her, you become soft-hearted because everything she does, you have to kind of be sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, okay, well, if you're still with the baby mom or she's your wife, then it's a little different. Me and my baby mama, we aren't together.
Right. So
everything she does, I'm like, damn, you know, you starting to look like your mama, act like your mama, at full back, like, okay, that's my baby.
Yeah,
treat the mama, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
listen,
she be ready. She ready to take me that now, because now she's, my daughter's all woman. Every Saturday morning she wake up, she's ready to go get her fingernails, hair and all that done. She's only 10 years old. I'm like, girl, you know, this ain't what you're supposed to be doing at this age. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be talking about buy some toys or something.
Listen, my niece is like that. And my niece, she's 16 now, but yeah, very early on, very, very girly girl. And she, my niece is like taller than me. I'm probably like an even 6 foot. My niece is probably 6'1", 6'2". And so I was like, oh man, she might play some ball, you know, volleyball or something like that. Shit, my niece want her nails done. She want she's a sneakerhead. So her look is kind of, at this point, it's a little like, it kind of reminds me of like TLC. It's got a little touch of the tomboyish thing, but she also still got long nails.
Hair
done up and all that kind of stuff too. So it's fun watching, even just watching her grow up. And she the baby girl of the family, so she gets spoiled regardless. Like I go on sneakers and stuff like that, and I get shoes for her. And I be wanting the shoes. Our shoes cost the same amount, and I be like, nah, I need some shoes. Give them to her. Go ahead and let her get that. You know what I mean? Try to spoil her so she understand the baseline standard for how a man, you know, got to approach. So.
Yeah, I be trying to buy my daughter sneakers all the time. She accepts most of them, but she'll be like, well, Dad, no, just, you see these heels or open-toe shoes? Like,
huh? Okay.
Like, hold on, girl. What do you, like, where you getting this stuff from? You know what I'm saying? I would expect for you to approach your mother like that. You know what I'm saying? Your dad supposed to be like, well, you know your dad gonna buy you some tennis shoes. You know what I'm saying? But coming to me like, you know, I'd be like, oh, Lord, this girl wants some sandals with her feet showing. I'm like, oh, man, like, you know, but, hey, I you know, my mama, the crazy thing is my mama warned me that I was going to have twins. So when it happened, I was like, dang.
Does it run
in my family.
Okay.
It runs in Natasha's side of the family too.
Yeah, it's in my family. It's in my family strong. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I be telling chicks all the time. They be like, I want twins. I be like, I can give them to you because I know it's in my family. It's in my family, so I can give them to you, but I don't want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's gonna be a give and go.
It's gonna be definitely gonna be a give and go. You gonna have to sit up. You finna sit up for them hours now, because I dealt with them
I
hours.
Did it now, yo. Mm-hmm. I done did it. Yeah, man. That's crazy, man. Father's Day on the horizon. Happy Father's Day to y'all, man.
Thanks, man.
That's a real thing. I want to make sure we take the time to celebrate.
A chick, I was like, man, I'm finna go out and celebrate.
Oh, hold on, we lost you. Yeah, I think he froze.
I think he froze briefly, Matt. Hey, funny, in real time, a tooth just came out.
That's talking
about daddy, and she's like, daddy, my tooth
she was
out.
That's what she came into. Okay.
Yeah.
I saw her swing through the... being a dad, man, that's some wild shit. Okay, you back now. Oh, yeah, X froze up for a second. You muted, cuz.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah, everybody had froze up. It just went like black.
You froze on us, but me and Mar was still here. You know, technology. You know,
okay, yeah.
But, I just wanted to say real quick, man, I always want to salute Black fatherhood because I believe it's a myth. That it doesn't exist. Every one of my homeboys that are Black men, and I have a multi-ethnic group of friends I kick it with. I got my group of white homeboys I'm with all the time. I got my core group of Black friends as well. Every single one of my homeboys that are Black and have children are great fathers. And I want to make sure we take the time to salute that and acknowledge that, because there's a myth out there that's been put out there that black men don't take care of their children, aren't active participants in the child, child rearing and bringing these kids up and being examples and trying to be the best men they could be. And so I want to make sure, especially on Father's Day, because Father's Day gets swept under the rug any damn way.
Yeah.
That's just not the case. I don't, maybe it was at some point. I don't know.
I think what happened was we aren't as vocal about it as mothers are on Mother's Day or women are on Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? We kind of just expect us to just, man, we don't care. Like, we just want to be peaceful. You know what I'm saying? On our day, we ain't worried about all that extra stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's good to get it, though. It's good. But we just not vocal. We'd be like, man, okay, it's Father's Day coming up. What you want for Father's Day? Man, I don't care.
You know what dad's used to getting,
yeah.
Dad's used to getting pushed over there. You know, so yeah, like, they used to being marginalized. I think, it's always when it comes to some of that stuff. Like, okay, for example, you have to remember, okay, like, for my father, it was the crack epidemic, right? So it's not rooted totally in falsehoods, but you have to look at how times have changed and how circumstances have changed. So my dad wasn't there for me like that, but at the same time, I can say, he fell victim to addiction and that affected him. He wasn't the only one. That was a big thing for fathers in the 80s, because the crack epidemic had swept through, especially in our neighborhood, and that wasn't no accident, right? So in our sector, and there's been efforts to remove us from the house, right? So like if you had, the disenfranchised, the disadvantaged that were, trying to establish themselves in this society, right? So you go and, you get government housing, right? And it's like, well, yeah, I need a foot up because I've been handicapped the whole time. Well, they won't let a man be there. So a man can't, be there with his children. Then the very entity that is helping, quote unquote, the black mother is demonizing the black father and not allowing him to be in that household because, wait a minute, you held them down. And that's why they're in this position. So they're trying to form a family unit and come up, but you're saying no, you can't even if he hear you kicked out. So what you gonna do?
Out, you lose all your public assistance,
right?
You gotta go.
So what she gonna do? You out.
Cause she's like, man, I'm getting this and I ain't gotta do nothing but sit here with my kids. Hey, bye bye, buddy.
Right. And I mean, even if she ain't being heartless about it, it's just a situation where it's like, well, what do you want me to do? I know you need to get your stuff together too, but they not allowing you no grace. So here we are. But it's a new day and a new age. And I think what that did spawn is a lot of great fathers because we understood guys my age, around that age, and in their 30s and 40s, realized, man, that shit hurt. So I will never allow my children to feel that. So I think it actually, in the new generation, it ended up spawning great fathers that they didn't necessarily expect what happened, man. So salute to each and every one of every father out there, but especially to my black fathers out there, man. I really do appreciate what y'all do and appreciate you cleaning up the image, man. That's real rap.
Respect.
Sure. Man, let's get on into the show a little bit.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome to another episode of 26 Degrees. Brought to you, as always, by the Roll Up Network and introducing our new sponsor, Gramco. Gramco is a Delta 8 company based out of Florida, founded by college football junkies just like me and you. If you're not familiar with Delta 8, you need to get familiar. Gramco is an absolute leader in this field. They got some phenomenal products that you all need to know about. First of all, you got the Wake and Bake coffee. Nothing but rave reviews about that. The gummies. I am the unofficial spokesperson for the gummies. I'm sure y'all seen my picture floating around on Twitter. That was very authentic. I did not expect to end up in that particular state. But, yeah, them things is hitting. Know that if you don't know nothing else, the gummies are official like a referee whistle. Know that. I put that on anything. And you know what's funny? Y'all dropped the ball because I put in the show notes, right? I put in the show notes, whoever goes on and uses our promo code, because we already were officially sponsored, but we didn't announce it on the actual podcast at that point, that whoever hit me back first, I was going to shoot them $26, which essentially would have got you a free pack of gummies, probably a pack of pre-rolls, I believe, as well. Y'all dropped the ball on that, man. But I'm gonna throw it out there one more time. So whoever hits us up, send a screenshot of you purchasing Gramco product using our code. I'm going to shoot you $26, which essentially will either make it free or close to free. So that gives you a free try. But, you know, another product you got to highlight is the pre-rolls. They use raw cones. Okay. None of the cheap stuff. Raw is the standard for cones out there. So get it rolled up in raw. Shout out to them. And in order to take advantage of all of this, all you got to do is go to thegramco.com, use promo code Canes25 to get 25% off your order. You get free shipping with $50, I believe. So, you know, get a couple of things and then go and get that 50. And if you hit me up quick enough, the first one, I'm going to shoot you a 26 back. So, you know, I handle that. No medical card needed. It is federally legal. You got to be 21 to order. And want to keep in mind, this isn't a gas station grade. I've had that. That's that boo-boo, not it. That's that foo-foo, not dealing with that. Won't be disappointed with this product. This is a cradle to the grave company. They grow in Florida. They ship out everywhere else, but everything they do is in-house, man. So shout out to Gramco. And after that exquisitely long intro, let me introduce the other guys that's here with me today. Meezy had to use some PTO today. They making him be a janitor too. Shout out to my teachers. I definitely want to shout out, yeah, for those who don't know, Meezy is a teacher. And teachers end up getting all kind of stuff thrown in their lap, bro. Like, they add this and they add that. So, yeah, they got Meezy hanging back out of school doing some cleaning or something, I think he said. I remember that, too, when I was in school. I remember my teachers doing that. Shout out to the teachers, bro. I really appreciate y'all. I was going to school to be an educator at one point. Wasn't able to continue my education, unfortunately. But do not ever think that I don't respect what you do. You help mold these children into great future leaders. You're with those kids a lot of times more than the parents are. So I want to make sure I salute you all as well. But along with us today, since Meezy had to clean the toilets and knock the dust off the chalkboard, my boy X is here with us. X, what's going on, my guy?
Not much, just chilling, man, on a Thursday night, Thursday evening, enjoying myself. Me and my son actually just chilling today. My daughter, she wanted to go hang out at my girl house. Yeah, man, just chilling for the most as of now. You know, I was planning on going to go catch the game later on, but I'm going to chill and watch the game with my son tonight. I need to give Tootsies a break anyway, man. I don't know. Beat that dough down a couple nights in a row. So. Let them miss me for a little bit, y'all.
Yeah. Hey, what they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It makes the heart grow. Yeah.
You gotta be like, well, X, he ain't coming. You know, you gotta give him a little of that. Yeah. Who you got tonight?
To be truthful, man, I hate the Celtics, but I want them to win because I want to watch the game on Sunday, on Father's Day. I mean, that's just
nice. I like that.
I just want to watch a game on Father's Day. But I think Golden State most likely gonna pull it out. And get it over with.
Game six, Clay, baby.
Yeah, game six, Clay.
He usually comes out and gets monstrous. I want Boston to win the whole thing. I'm not a Boston fan at all. I'm a Jason Tatum fan. Because I'm a Duke fan, so
yeah,
I'd like to see that's my dog in the fight. Also, I like Jaylen Brown. He's from Georgia, from the Atlanta area, so I like that as well. But if I was putting money down tonight, give me the Warriors, man. Vets.
They've been there. They know how to close it out.
They've been here and they've done this, man. They know how to close this thing out. Despite, you know, honestly, really Steph the only one that's really been hooping the whole time on that team. Jordan Poole's been a little bit, Draymond's been god awful. Klay ain't been much of a factor. Wiggins been hooping too.
Wiggins is really why they up 3-3-2.
Right.
He's doing an amazing job guarding Tatum.
Tatum
is real. He's very uncomfortable with his shot selected when Wiggins is on him. So
I agree, man. So
Wiggins and Tatum is young. So once he figures out when a guy can actually guard him, now you gotta come up with your signature move where it's unguardable. I don't think he found that out yet.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Now it's like, okay, let me just try to shake him and get my shot off. You know what I'm saying? But once he find that signature move where he can just bounce, get his shot off every time, and he know it's makeable or it's gonna get a foul, then he becomes unstoppable.
I agree. With us today is producer extraordinaire. I got Maul. He's here with us as usual. You know, he'd probably be a little more active today since his Meezy's out. But we always welcome that, though. Maul has great takes, insights, and everything. So what's up? What's going on with you, my boy?
Man, just another day, man. Just long days of summer. It's hot, man. It was the hottest day in Atlanta ever yesterday. It was 99 degrees. They said it was the hottest day.
It's hot as shit in Savannah, too, bro. It ain't bullshitting.
I bet, man. And in terms of the game tonight, I want Golden State to finish it up. Big reason why is I feel like Boston, they ain't figured it out yet. Like, to me, that Heat series, I like the Heat. I thought the Heat could have won, but the way they was hurt, Boston should have wrapped that one up in six. And I think Boston just don't know how to win yet.
I agree.
Like Tatum, he makes the game so hard. Like, and he don't punish the defense enough. Like, he makes difficult shots, but he don't have to make difficult shots. He could take it to the hole. He lets the defense dictate what he does versus the other way around. And once he figures that out, Boston will then be ready to win a championship.
I agree. I totally agree. I think they're just I think they're 2 years away. I think they're a great young nucleus. I think they're a better team. They're a
better talent for sure. They lack that consistency. Like, I haven't seen them play like a complete 12 minutes of basketball.
When I'm watching 48 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just talking about 12. I'm just talking about one quarter.
You're talking about
I'm literally talking about just one solid quarter of just not turning the ball over, just being at your best. Like, Boston's talented as hell, but when I watch them play, it's like, dog, they're not playing as good as they can play. Like the eye test is like, this series should have been Celtics in five.
I tend to agree. And that's why I went into this series saying Warriors in six. That was my original take. And I stuck with it because I was like, championship pedigree. Just guys that know what it takes to get it done. They're just going to make it happen. So as much as I like to see them get there, I think the loss will. I think this Boston team can be the next dynasty.
They can. I think they need.
They can. They just got to figure a few things out.
they got to get a veteran point guard off the bench. Because it, to me, if you could bring a point guard off the bench, slide Smart to the off guard, and just have Tatum and Brown at the same time, someone who can create shots for them, because they make their offense so much harder than it needs to be. They just need that guy to settle it down. All right, they on a 6-0 run. Let's run this set. Where Boston, right, they get in these plays where they'll play bad for like 4 or 5 minutes straight. Tatum just throw the ball. Brown throw the ball away. They just get the ball took from them, and you're just like – a lot of empty possessions. So
right, it's almost like they need Rajon Rondo again.
Right. They need a veteran guard off the bench. Yeah. That's what they missing.
Rajon a little busy. Boy, they nuts. he's a little tied up, but they Rajon Rondo tight. But anyways, let's get into a little Canes football, man. Let's see what we got going on, man. What's the temperature around things? We kick it off with the decommitment of Ray Nathaniel Joseph,
my guy. He's the third best receiver, second best receiver in the state. If you take Carnell Tate out, he's the second best receiver in the state.
Let me ask you this real quick before we get into it. Where the hell does Ray Ray come from? Do you know?
I never even asked him what
the name about that. Because I'm like, his name's Nathaniel. And so salute that name. That's my grandfather's name. So that touched my heart. My grandfather's like, man, that's like a hero of mine, personal hero of mine. So dope name. Love that name. But I was like, who the hell?
It's crazy because we used to
get Ray Ray from.
I think his ninth grade year, me and the other people, we used to always say JoJo. We used to call him JoJo. And they used to be like, man, who is JoJo? Yep. And they be like, JoJo, who played for that? They like, no, Ray Ray. And I'm like,
what the hell is Ray Ray?
Yeah, where Ray Ray come from? But yeah. I never asked. I'm going to ask next time I see him.
I want to know that one, man.
Yeah, I'm going to ask next time I see him. But, hey, man, that's my guy. That been my guy since his ninth grade year. Unfortunately, our previous staff, like I keep explaining to everybody, our previous staff was just dumb to say he's too short. That was just dumb. You know what I'm saying? So Clemson snuck on in and was recruiting them hard. And once they got them, you know, they was locked in all the way, man. But
what the hell is that short at college? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't understand that term, but especially at wide receiver.
Right.
What is too short? Right? Is he got to be below 5 foot for you to tell him he's too short to play wide receiver?
You telling me he's cooking guys off the line, burning something, and turning a slant into a 80-yard touchdown? We too short? What are we talking about? That doesn't make logical sense to me.
And I think when you're the University of Miami and you got a dog in your backyard, size don't matter, right?
It doesn't matter.
Because guess what? If Miami in the 90s, early 2000s did that, we wouldn't have Santana Moss on our team because he's too short.
Kevin Williams.
Roscoe.
You know what I'm saying? Sonoris Moss. If we would have it's just that doesn't mix. Not at the collegiate level. At pro level, you start evaluating that. But at the collegiate level, I'm not worried.
You know why? Because you can only coach one style of player. You can coach someone who's 6'2", but you can't coach a dog, essentially, a guy who can just go make plays. And that's
what happened yesterday. We was on the space, and the guy asked me, they basically asked me the same question, like, why would you think the staff wouldn't want to recruit Ray Ray? And then I said, well, if you look at Lashley's offense, even when he was the OC at the other previous school, he always had like 6'1", 6'2" receivers in his system. So when he came to Miami, that's what he was looking for. 6'1", 6'2" wide receivers to be in his system so he could throw the long, deep passes and they catch the jump ball or they catch the ball over a smaller receiver, defender, stuff like that. So then I understood, like, I mean, I didn't understand, but I understood the philosophy. You know what I'm saying? I just still don't care. If a guy's good, you go get him. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's a ball player, you put him on your team. But it's cool. Like the homie Torbert Bain says, the nightmare's over, man. We got that out the way. Now we're going to get the best of the best. And Ray Ray is definitely one of them.
Man, love to hear that.
Yeah. Sorry. My bad. I was muted. Yeah, I forget sometimes because I hit the mute on my actual microphone and not the computer. But you know, that was a mistake we almost made with Trajan Bandy as well. Trajan's an undersized guy, but he was a dog, and at least at the collegiate level, Trajan played great ball. People forget Trajan played that last year injured. He did not
play out of position.
He was not doing what he should have been doing. And then he left because, you know, he had some personal issues within his family. So he made that choice. But as a collegiate cornerback, Trajan Bandy was not bad at all. And he belonged on the Miami roster. I would not ever take that away from him. Do I wish that he didn't play that last year? He played injured, and then he would have came back one more year healthy. Absolute. Because he just came out at the absolute worst time.
Yeah.
Because the NFL came off a COVID year as well. So it honestly screwed up his trajectory in general. I'm not necessarily saying he was an NFL guy, but I know he was a Kane guy. I know he was a person that was definitely worthy of a scholarship. So same thing I've seen here with Ray Ray. And so we'll see if we can reel him on in home. It ain't a sealed deal yet. I feel pretty good about it. But, you know, it's competition out there. You know, A&M paying. So, you know, you got to watch that.
Oh, you talk about for Ray? Oh, I'm not worried about Ray Ray with any other school. He was a Kane fan as a kid. His whole family, everybody's around him, a Kane fan. That was just dumb by the previous staff. You know what I'm saying? So once Gaddis got here and they started saying, "Well, we interested. We want you at UM." Everybody minds and eyes open up. They're like, "Hold on, you on fans now? We you on fans? What you want to do?" You know what I'm saying? So, and then I guess a thing got out last week about him secretly visiting UM and taking visits, and you know, and if anybody know about Clemson, they know Clemson has a policy where once you commit, they don't want you taking visits. And stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So I guess they got really upset when they found out he was taking secret visits, and then he ended up going to the 7-on-7 camp. They was really upset about that. It's dumb because he lives in Miami. Like, how do you
so not? Why not? Right? Why not?
Like, just you saying you don't want him to? That's like
just sharpen steel.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I'm saying? You got him. Just keep at him. You know what I'm saying? But you telling him you don't want him to go visit his hometown school? That his high school who he played for is having a 7-on-7 camp there. So that was dumb, mom. And then once that happened, it was like, "Oh, okay, no problem. Well, we're gonna decommit, open this thing back up, and we gonna make y'all suffer." You know what I'm saying? So UM is all the way in the driver's seat, 100,000% right now. He's on a visit this weekend at Louisville. I've heard Louisville is talking some good stuff with him. I just know for a fact that it's UM all the way. And we're gonna get us a good one, another good one at that receiver spot, man, where we need some shake, you know what I'm saying? And go. So we in a good spot right there.
I like that. Breaking news real quick. This is live real time. I'm gonna try to get this out Friday, if not Saturday, but you know what? Now I feel like I got to get it done Friday. it's just funny because normally Thursday nights I crash out mad early. I'll be dumb tired. But breaking news, Drake is dropping his 7th album tonight, 7 p.m. So in 4 minutes from now, we're recording right now. Wait, is it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Midnight. Drake is dropping his 7th album. Honestly, never mind. The Young Goat, the modern day Michael, hated to love it, is dropping again. I wish I had some flex bombs to drop right now. Drake's my dude. I tell people all the time, they say, yo, you stuck on an island, you can't listen to nobody else. I gotta go Drake, dog. I ain't gonna lie, Drake got it all. He got the sing-songy stuff. He got the bars.
Man, if the Warriors win tonight.
Oh, man. Light-skinned nation, baby. Light-skinned nation.
Warriors win tonight.
We up, baby. Light-skinned team. we legendary tonight.
Oh, man. Oh, no. If the Warriors win and then Drake album drop.
What?
That's going to be I think all us darker skinned dudes, we got to stay in the house for that weekend, man.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hurtful going out there in the streets and them light skinned dudes.
Yeah, I think we ride a 3 month wave off of this. If the Warriors win tonight and Drake album, oh my god, and we don't got no single, no nothing, dog. He pulled the Beyonce, nothing. It's just like, all right, Drake dropped it. Midnight. And I'm not going to hear it at midnight, but I go to work early. I go to work at 4 tomorrow, so I'll be listening to Drake probably at around 3 o'clock on Friday morning and listening to the Young Goat, bro. That's crazy. I just saw that, man. That's dope as hell. But anyways, other news, Jaden Rashada, he's pushed back his commitment date. And University of Florida fans are shaking in their boots.
Oh, man, they shaking like they just seen Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean, you know, I was one that I thought when I got worried that Jaden Rashada, you know, most likely wasn't going to come on a visit, that he was going to commit to Florida. But then you just start looking at the scenario where he basically, before all this Florida talk came, he was like, yeah, man, he loving you, him. And they was like, why? They were like, he said, man, I get to play with Josh Gattis, being my office coordinator, and they just have so much talent down there. You know what I'm saying? So just looking at all the talented receivers we have down here, you could see him saying, well, I want to start seeing where these receivers go so I can go, so I can throw the ball to them. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Florida is in any mentions with the top receivers in the state. So that kind of depletes him going to Florida. But, you know, I still think it might end up being Florida. But for him to push it back, they worried. They scared.
Yeah.
As they should be. I mean, there's no reason to push it back if there's nothing else to think about. I think – this is what I say, honestly. I don't mean to cut you off, Mom. I'm gonna let you jump in real quick. I honestly feel like my gut tells me he's afraid of visiting Miami because he thinks he'll love it. And the easier path is Gainesville because they don't have the quarterback room that we have right now. Right? So if you look at our quarterback room, you've got TBD, who, if he does what most kind of anticipate him doing, he'll probably be going after this year. Then right behind him, you have Jake Garcia, who was another five-star quarterback, all right? And then behind Jake Garcia, you have Ja'Cari Brown, who is a four-star with a lot of upside. Super athletic kid. So I think my gut tells me he's feeling Miami, but a part of him is a little like, you know, but I'm of this feeling of steel sharpens steel, bro. Even if you don't play for 3 years, you can make it off of 1 year. Look at Bama's quarterback that went to the Patriots.
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. I think if you're trying to be special, you got to go where the competition is, because that's just what pushes you. You know, save yourself the hits, save yourself the wear and tear of throwing the football. If you're running back, running the football. I really think that's what it is. I think that he's afraid of falling in love with Miami because it's just a different trajectory than it is if he goes to a Florida. So this is going to be very interesting. My gut says he's going to visit officially, and then he'll sit down and make a decision. But I think he's ducked us a little bit because I think he likes it. I do. I think he likes it, and he just doesn't want to be in a position of
where you got to sit and wait. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Versus if I go to Florida, if he goes to Florida, he starts next year.
Yeah, you can play next year. And that's if the quarterback that guy comes back, which he's going to eventually have to, because I don't think he's that type of talent that everybody proclaiming. He can really jump him because he's a better player already. He's a better player than him. Just look at the schools of choice. You're looking at all the schools of choice, and it's like, hey, man, he could actually go to those schools and play as soon as he get there.
Yeah.
Miami is the one school where he's going to have to wait no matter how good he is, because
they're
just in a better situation at quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
That's just where we at right now. We have a better QB room than probably every – I wouldn't even say probably – over every team that he has in contention. Better than Ole Miss, better than Cal. Cal's an automatic starter. He's a freshman starter at Cal.
Yeah, he goes and start right away. He don't even have to go to practice. He's going to start over there.
He's starting at Cal, Oregon, Ole Miss. Who's the other schools? Florida. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just an automatic thing. So I think, me personally, and I'm not even saying this as a Hurricanes fan, I'm just saying this as a football fan, and at the collegiate level, I definitely have always looked at it like, hey, you got to, because the top programs always stack a ton of talent. So if you go to Bama, in most positions, you got to wait. That's just what it is in most positions. Every once in a while, it can get a little out of cycle because – guys transferring and stuff like that, but for the majority, they stack so much talent that waiting is the way of the world. So to me, I look at it as, if your ultimate aspiration is the NFL, you need to go where you're going to be pushed the hardest. You need to go where you're going to have to compete against killers, and you got to be a killer too. So that's what I think Jaden Rashada's commitment will ultimately come down to, if he wants to go the path of knocking killers out, or does he want to go the path of the least resistance? So let's see how the saga unfolds. He moved it from his dad's birthday on the 18th. Now he's putting it on his grandma on the 26th. But the truth is, he just thinking a little more, period. That's what we're dealing with. So yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like the UF is, even if he chooses UF, I don't think his commitment is going to be over, because to me, he could just choose them now. There's no reason not to choose them if that's your choice.
That's true. I mean, it looks like it was all headed to UF, and then I don't think it would have been over because UF could have a bad season, and he could be like, well, I don't want to go there. They having a bad season. Why would I go there? You know what I'm saying? And that's going to happen around the country with a lot of schools, even without the fact that NIL deals are being done. Kids going to be like, well, even if I go there, they bad. Why? You know, this school offering me the same amount of money, I might as well go over there. You know what I'm saying? So it's just going to be a lot of – like I keep telling people now, man, I say I'm not getting excited about commits anymore early until it's close to signing day, because it's just so much going on. So much NIL talk. you got coaches who still recruiting the kid. Once a kid commits, you know, the staff might slow down on them. They still want them, but they not doing what they did to get them. Now you got another coaching staff that's doing what they need to do to get them. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's just so much going on.
And especially a kid cross country, like to lock down a kid cross country, a quarterback other side of the country, that's going to take you being flawless with your recruitment with him. No, you know, no holes. Otherwise, he can just stay on the West Coast if he's not sure. If they leave some doubt in his mind. So I think even if he commits, I think it's still going to be an adventure till December.
Well, most QBs don't waver. But I get what y'all are saying, because we got Jake too. You know, remember Jake was a USC commit. We never quit working the lines. We never let that relationship dissolve. I love where we're at quarterback-wise, because I think Jake could definitely be the guy. Yeah, I think this year. But even though he's not going to be because of TBD, then that sets him up next year. And then I think Ja'Kari. It's weird. It's spelled Ja'Kari, but it's pronounced Ja'Kari. I think Ja'Kari's next. So I respect what they build over there. And, you know, if he goes to Florida, I'm not going to clown the kid. I'll never do that. I always want to see these young men do well. But at the end of the day, I don't see that as a win for Florida. I see that as the easy path. It's the path of least resistance. So he just goes, well, why would, you know, it's way easier over there. I can get on the field way quicker over there. Now, how does that turn out? We don't know yet. It could turn out great or it could turn out terrible. But, you know, I don't knock it either way. But anyways, that little camp going on. Some visitors came through. Actually, we'll let X get into this a little bit. So, little camp went down. I would say probably the highlight would be, for me personally, would be Andy Jean or Jean. Is it Jean? I don't even know that, actually. Now I think about that. I would assume it's Jean. But, yeah, he was there. Jaylen Brown. The Washington Twins.
A kid who plays cornerback. Is it Sharif? Denson actually got to see him work out one-on-one with Coach Adai, and he immediately got an offer. Who else was there? The Hicks kid. He was there Saturday. He's a big kid. My God, he looks like he grown already, man. Another one was it? Sadir Mitchell. He came last week too.
He was there too.
He's humongous. My God.
I saw that cat. That's a big boy. He was he hung around?
Yeah, he was there. He was there. He was there. Okay, is humongous, man. He looks like a grown NFL player
that's
already.
That's a big boy. Yeah, that's a big boy.
Then you had the offensive lineman who's committed to us, Antonio Tripp. He was there previous weekend. He's locked in a billion percent.
He's the ambassador.
Yeah, he's doing everything to get other kids there. But yeah, Wednesday, yesterday. That's when Danny Jean and Jaylen Brown and the Washington Twins and all them other guys came, because it was individual camp. So they got to work out with individually with the position coaches. You know, Josh Gaddis really wanted to see Andy Jean and Jaylen Brown and Robbie Washington work out, stuff like that. And they both sides impressed each other. Andy Jean being the one that majorly was impressed, because he probably got his first real hold on.
Sorry, Speaking of kids, right? So I love potties, bro. It's the best. You still muted X.
Yeah, so yeah, Andy Jean, that was probably his first crack at one-on-one time with Josh Gattis. Yeah. And Gattis, I think, was very – he didn't know Andy Jean was that fast. He didn't know Andy Jean was that fast.
Yeah, I think, honestly, at the end of the day, they both – I think they both impressed each other from the feedback I got. I think and Andy John really enjoyed the tutelage he got from Josh Gattis. And I think Josh Gattis really was pleasantly surprised by the ability of Andy John. So I think it was a mutually beneficial experience for, you know, both the coach and the player in this particular situation. So, you know, X told us a while ago that he still had Andy John in this class for us. And I haven't wavered on that, and I still feel comfortable with that. I still think that's what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, so, as of now, I'm thinking we still might end up taking five receivers. So, because the talk with the top two, still there, and it's gaining strength. With Brandon Ennis, Hakeem Williams, Jaylen Brown. Those talks are starting to gain a lot of strength. And you just got to sit and watch how it plays out, though.
Feel you. Let's see. Who else was there at the camp? So we mentioned the Washington Twins. We mentioned Andy John. Let's see. Do we miss anybody? I think we got it. Oh, I know I want to mention Chris Johnson Jr.
Chris Johnson Jr., the running back from Dillard. He's a 10-2, 10-3 guy in 100, one of the fastest players in the nation. Running back, he's about a 5'11", maybe 180, maybe 180.
Maybe, yeah. 180 is probably a little bit of a push, but yeah.
That speed is not something you can teach, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. He runs, he's gone.
He came out, he worked out with Kevin Smith individually, and he also worked out with special teams on kick returns. So, you know, a guy that I think possibly the staff is up on more as a complimentary back kind of slash offensive weapon. I think in general, I think the staff is probably looking at him as, hey, let's just get him in. I think he could be a complimentary back and maybe a tremendous kick returning guy. So,
yeah, special teams. I mean, you know, they at certain points, you're going to start recruiting kids because you figure they're good on special teams. That could be one issue right there. I mean, it's, you know, like I say, that speed, you can't teach it. So just imagine him on special teams doing what he do, along with the other players that you can add to it, it just makes it a lot better. So
that's real.
I think until today, Logan Howland, he's on an official visit. He's a offensive lineman, offensive tackle guy from New Jersey, Princeton, New Jersey. Okay. He's about 6'7", 280, three-star guy. I mean, but, you know, those type of guys I kind of like when they come from those type of areas and stuff like that, because, you know, they mean business. You know what I'm saying? They getting their hands and knuckles and stuff dirty. Right. Those is the type of offensive linemen we supposed to get. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop getting these guards and turn them into tackles.
Nah, that's real. That's real.
Oh, and just some other quick news. Look, Emory Williams is going to take an official this weekend.
Yeah. So this weekend we got Jaden Wayne taking an official, Riley Williams, John Walker, Deron Reed and Emery Williams that will be here this weekend. I kind of expect Emery Williams to commit this weekend. That's the quarterback. He's from Milton, Florida. So I kind of expect him to commit. And people saying, well, what if he committed? Then what does that do with Jaden? I mean, maybe the idea of got to get on board when you can, because, you know, we ain't finna stop. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take who wants to be here. Or can you see a dilemma where it's two quarterbacks took it in the class? Because it kind of, you just look at it like this. TVD leaves, you're stuck with two quarterbacks only. I don't think we count Patching Peyton, however you pronounce his name, as the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So
Matocha, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we don't count him as a quarterback. Yeah. So you do want to get guys in who can sit and learn, but you still got to have that depth just in case anything happens. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they can take two.
And if I'm Emery Williams, I come here because, hey, I'm going to get that quarterback coaching great for 2 years. And if I'm not a starter, I can take that tutelage and go somewhere else and lock in a starting job too.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and then the JUCO receiver, Kobe Young, he's coming.
He's supposed to be on campus this weekend, correct?
So and then he commits, I think, this weekend too. So you might see three commits this weekend. Three commits this weekend. So
that's what's up. Things are cooking in Coral Gables, man.
It's cooking. Mario and the staff, they're cooking up for real.
It's that indirect slow heat. Like, people don't even see it coming, but he cooking.
On the money, man. They on the money big time. Everybody kept saying, oh, well, when we finna start getting commits? I'm like, man, again, it don't matter because it only matters on signing day. But if y'all just want to brag and talk and all this, I kept telling everybody, summertime, it's gonna be very hot in Miami. And it's physically hot. It's hot out there in the streets with UM. So
that's a fact. We had a commit since last time we spoke. Tight end out of Indiana. I think he's a four-sport athlete.
Talking about Jackson Carver?
Jackson Carver.
Jackson Carver, yeah. He plays lacrosse, hockey, basketball. Yep.
And track and field.
He track and field, and then 1 year of football. He's about 6'6", 220. I mean, he looks the par for tight end. And I think yesterday I spoke on the space about maybe he can sit and grow into a tackle. You know what I'm saying? Because of his body structure. You know, I don't know if that's the plan, but just looking at his body structure, he can be. What's the guy who we had that was tight end, top tight end? He came in, and then Eric Winston.
Winston.
You could have a situation like that, but hey, I'm happy. The guy looks like a tight end. Iowa was recruiting him, and if Iowa wants you at a tight end,
that's the only other team I keep in consideration for tight end. That's it.
It's Iowa,
and ain't nobody else. I'm saying Iowa or us, and I'm like, they got a good case. They do.
Yeah, so once that happened, I was like, oh man, we took one from Iowa. That means he really good at tight end. So I was happy.
Yeah, as a Niners fan and a Canes fan, you know, tight end has honestly always been my favorite position, period. Like, I like the versatility. I like what an elite tight end can bring to the game, which is why I love George Kittle, because I think George Kittle is an elite blocker, but he's also an elite pass catcher. He's a guy that can get yards at the catch, just an energy guy. Like, I'm a huge George Kittle fan.
He's so reliable, a great tight end.
A great tight end, yeah, man. It's, Travis Kelce, Ertz. Like there's guys, man, that they the mark. I just happen to be a fan of, you know, hell, like 49ers have a great tradition at tight end.
Yeah, y'all had Delanie Walker too, right?
Didn't yeah, you? Yeah, yeah.
Delanie Walker, we had Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis, Clark.
We had I'm drawing blanks right now because I'm a little tipsy off the Cabernet Sauvignon, but my two favorite football, you know, organizations have had great tight end tradition. But new commit there. Also think that we're gonna bring in another tight end, McKeska or McKeska, I think it is.
Yeah, Reed McKeska, the former Clemson commit.
Yeah, the former
I think he's in the fold as well. He canceled his Florida visit. Shout out Silk said that they think they're shutting their board down, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Why do you shut the board down? That don't make no sense.
Well, because he explained it well. Tight ends in Billy's offense aren't that prominent, so
they got nothing to sell.
They don't have a lot. Yeah, they don't have a lot to sell, so they'll probably get a guy out of the portal that'll be an additional blocker. If you're looking at Iowa, if you're looking at Miami, you're looking at guys that are versatile. So, yeah, it's probably just because they can't sell much. So, I think we end up getting Reed in the fold within the next week as well.
Yeah, most likely Saturday. Saturday or Sunday. The only thing I'm hoping, and I'm kind of hoping this is because I'm a fan of him, Riley Williams, the other another top tight end. He comes this weekend, so I'm kind of hoping we can take him instead of the other guy. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
No, I get you.
That's just me. Hey, I'm not, you know, I'm not the coach, so I don't say who to take, but that's just how I feel. So we'll see how that goes.
Hey, you told them boys to take Ray, to take Ray Ray, so your money good around here.
right. Money's A1.
Yeah, I be telling them who to, you know, a couple players who to take, man, and they start looking at them. They be like, oh, okay, yeah, we finna start recruiting that kid, and as you know, they get them. Yeah, they got to start giving me my credit, man. On
hey, you know, get that, dog. Get that, dog. One thing I learned, man, humble get no respect, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you could be humble, but you don't really get respect until after they acknowledge you. You know what I mean? So I learned that sometimes I got to be my own cheerleader. Sometimes I got to be like, nah, ain't nobody doing this like me. I do what I do, bro, and respect that and acknowledge that. Humble only really gets respect once they don't need it anymore. Like, yeah. Jay-Z comes all super humble. Well, you don't need no more respect now.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, by a lot of accounts, the best rapper ever. You know, one of the greatest businessmen. So he don't, now he can definitely sit comfortably and humble. But I can't. I don't get to sit comfortably and humble.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna talk my shit. So X, talk your shit, bro.
Yeah. I mean, you know me. I always talk my shit, man.
But talk that shit, bro.
Again, and it's not so much of it's just being humble. It's just I let the kids do the talking for me. You know what I'm saying? If I say the kid is good, then I expect the kid to go out there and be good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really getting behind no kid who's not good. I used to do that all the time, and it backfired so much. Well. Now I
shut up, man. Like,
if I put my name on you on your back, you better do what you better do. You understand? Because I just don't want my name to be bad in the streets or however you say it. I just want my name to always be good. But it's cool, man. Yeah, that's just one of the kids I want on this team because he's a better pass catching tight end. Then the two that I think we will end up with anyways. So,
did we I could be blanking a little bit. Did we announce that Emery Williams is going to be on an official this weekend?
Yeah.
We did. Okay, I was making sure. I thought so. All right. Well, yeah. Anything else? I think we good.
I mean, yeah, everything is leading up to the big Legends weekend. Throughout from here on to next weekend, it's gonna be crazy, man. It's gonna be.
I wish I could be there, bro.
Man, I'm gonna tell you, it's so crazy because the other day, I know if you pay attention to my Caneville account, I took a picture of Alonzo, and he was, you know, he had his pen and his paper. He meant business. Like, it wasn't, no, he just, cause he's out there just to be out there. No, he's out there and he's meaning business. Like, he's out there working. And that's important because his eye is on everybody from staff to play to the team players to the kids that's coming out there to visit. His eyes is on everybody.
No doubt. And our staff is no joke.
It ain't funny no more.
I'm working on getting them shirts. I promise y'all. I've heard y'all. But I want y'all support when they kick out, man. You know, one thing I love about Miami fans and hate about Miami fans, we bougie as hell. Everybody want BZL. But I'm also a huge, firm believer in it takes a village. And when we support each other, things go further in general. So
yeah, Miami fans for the most, they support you. You know, until you become me, until you start showing your political side and stuff like that, and you
if they just feel like you start to shine a little more in them.
Yeah. That's I had that. I mean, that's all.
Over. I know you do. I know you do.
X said he was committing and he didn't. He waited two more months. He was wrong.
And ain't even that. It's just if they feel like X starts shining a little too much, then jealousy kicks in. Let me explain something to everyone. There's nothing wrong with being a fan. Everybody's not going to be able to be the man in that respect. And that's no disrespect to anyone. But if you gave it your best and that other dude just happens to be the people's champ, salute him.
Yeah, man.
Salute him and say, hey, that's the guy, man. Even if I don't get it, I understand the people have chosen, they spoken, and respect that, man. Just move on. So, you know, support where you can, man, and be a part of building. So, because everything that matters in any entertainment sphere, is all because fan support. So if a guy or a girl moves to the top, it is because of you. You are important. You are important. But it doesn't mean you're supposed to be the man as the talent or the woman as the talent. Doesn't mean that. It means that you're a part of something. And those that make it there appreciate it. They know. Like, I appreciate everybody that's a fan of everything I do. 26 Degrees, Roll Up, my other show, Cup, Culture Uncut and Butt Podcast. I know we were nothing without you. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of voices screaming into the air. So, trust me, we love you. We support you. Don't forget the offer that I put out there for y'all. First one to kick back. Kane's
25
promo 26. Code.
Yeah,
I'm going to
get
26. Yeah, I'm going to give you $26 towards your order. Hit, screenshot it at the 26 Degrees Pod account on Twitter, and $26 is on your way. I think we done, man.
Yeah, we done. Foz Kane talk. Y'all want to do the culture talk right quick?
What you got, dog?
You were okay when y'all was explaining to me about the Curry situation, man. And that was my first time hearing. I didn't know, but then I piggybacked and said I had a story that I just heard about, wow, that's crazy.
What you got, man? Hold on. Before you go, I'm gonna give some of the fans who may not know what's going on. So quick synopsis. Essentially, Dell Curry and I'm blanking on his wife's name, but
Sonya
Curry. Okay, cool. Thank you. Sonya Curry, we're in a bit of a rift in their relationship. So essentially what happens is Sonya ends up going out with this guy who played a little tight end for the Patriots back in the day, and that's kind of her new guy, right? So recently, they were, during the playoffs, Sonya shows up with tight end, not Rob Gronkowski from the Patriots, but also at the same game, Del Curry shows up with ex-Patriots tight end and I think ex-husband of Sonya's boo. So they're both at the game at the same damn time, bro.
Same time. So, they just goes on to the story that I got, man. And
go.
The story was so funny because the guy, he got a Rolling Stone. You know what I'm saying? Let's just say it like that. Rolling Stone in his younger years. He goes to a funeral. Now he currently has a wife, but he has the other two previous wives in the same building, all at the same time. So it's three wives of his at the same in the same room. And I say, how could he handle that? And they were like, he handled it terrifically. Like, he just let everybody know what it was. Like, we had a funeral. Y'all was crazy. Bring y'all differences here. You know what I'm saying? I was like, dang, that's well, I would have been going. I mean, I've had a situation where I've seen girls that I mess with in the same room, but you know, you handle it differently. The way that I was told that he handled it, I was like, man, that's top notch player. Like, you had no situation at all. Like, it was just they was in the same room, and it was
that's too tough, man. Yeah, that's tough. I'm a firm believer in you can't control your emotions. You can control your actions. So, you know, we spoke recently about Trouble, the rapper out of Atlanta, being killed.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I saw the Curry situation, I go, bro, you know, somebody going to jail. Like, y'all got to quit playing because.
Yeah, and them, they were boys back in college, Del Curry and the dude.
And the dude. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a weird. It's a weird energy surrounding that whole situation. The funniest
part was somebody, when the video came up of Dell at the game, somebody sarcastically said, that lady and that dude look like they could be married. And then somebody, you know how Twitter works, somebody says, actually, they are.
They are, man.
they were married. And they had
family
pictures. They were probably swinging back in the day.
Man. I think it was swinging.
It's almost like a Alonzo Mourning versus Larry Johnson moment.
A lot of people may not remember that.
It might be something like that. You know, they was boys already. And Larry Johnson was Larry Johnson was just being a man, just smashing whoever he could, and just so happened to be the girl that Alonzo Mourning fell in love with.
Yeah,
that's why Jeff Van Gundy had to grab a leg at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's one of the reasons they say, you know, Zoe left Charlotte, get away from Larry at that time. Like, the relationship had soured. That was another reason why that went down.
And two other stories, really quick. Back in the day, the old Dallas Mavericks, Jim Jackson, Jason Kidd.
Oh yeah, Jim Jackson. Yeah.
And who's the other one you're gonna say? Because I think I might know.
The Pacers. Paul George smashed Roy Hibbert girl.
And yeah.
His whole career fell down after that. You look at the moment. Remember, Roy Hibbert was like the most dominant big man, presence in the league. Not stats, but presence, right? He was blocking shots. As soon as that happened,
he was hooping.
As soon as that situation happened, his career fell flat.
Yeah.
What about Tony Parker and Steve Nash?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so. I could be a little off on
and
that.
And then
I know Derek Fisher and
Matt Barnes.
Another good one too. what else? Shannon Brown with Paul Gasol girl.
Oh yeah.
I can talk ill on the dead. Rest in peace, Kobe. But they said Kobe pillow talking is what made everybody know about it. See, I shouldn't talk about pillow talking. You hear this?
And then the ultimate one. I think the ultimate one, which everybody knows about, and this just. It was funny, but it was sad at the same time. What's his name? And LeBron James' mom, like that was just the ultimate.
Oh, Delonte West.
Yeah, Delonte West and LeBron James' mom. It was like, wow, like this. I better be. That was at that moment. I say, yeah, boy. I guess all hats are off the table. Yeah, like, you going after the player's mom now? Oh man.
Yeah, Delonte out there shooting bad too, man. Prayers to that brother, man. Real rap. You know, he was getting some help and he was doing better for a while. Who's the Mavs owner?
Mark Cuban. He was supposed to play in the big three too.
He helped them. Things seem to be going well, but it does look like he had a bit of a relapse or a setback. So prayers to him, real talk, man. I don't want to see anyone go down that path of self-destruction. So prayers to him, man. Hey, great show, fellas, man. We're gonna get up out of here, man. What up, baby?
Baby trying to get the last word. She trying to close out.
I tried to get her to form the bottle during the pod. It ain't work. She's
like, nah, Dad, you live in the action or something. I want to be a part of that.
So, yo, another episode of 26 Degrees. Thank you so gracefully and humbly kicking it with us, man. We do appreciate you all. Bigger and better things coming. I assure you of that. No weeks off, man. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace, peace.
Peace. Man, the one more I wanted to mention was Michael Jordan and Reggie Theus. Juanita was Reggie Theus, old lady. About to talk about that one.
I forgot
one
about week. That one.
And Michael went about
that. Look, we still recording. I might throw that at the beginning. Or maybe I throw it after the end song. Let's see if anybody catch it.
Dope, man. Great show, man.
Let's see.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.